What is real? What is real? It's very important to deal with reality. It's very important to deal with real things. We can fool ourselves sometimes and mislead ourselves. But certainly in Christianity, as much as anything else, we need to deal with reality. We might have sort of nice ideas of what we like or what we think, but if the wrong ideas, they're going to lead us up the garden path, aren't they? We're going to end up very disappointed, and we could end up in big bother. Sometimes Christianity is presented as the solution to all problems. It's the solution to some problems. There are other problems that are perhaps not addressed by it. Christianity is sometimes presented as a solution to all suffering. Well, it can be presented, well, it's true that it can answer some suffering, but other suffering, that's a different matter. And worst of all, Christianity can be presented as an end to all suffering, here and now. And that is completely wrong. Stephen, could you knock the lights off for us, please, just while we have a look at these? James, could you pop the PowerPoint on for us, please? Okay, 3D art. These are drawings that have actually been made. And have a look at them. The first one looks like a nice fried egg. Who wouldn't eat that fried egg? I guess people who don't like eggs, but that looks really good, yeah? And the person's burnt around the edge is true. Okay. But apart from that, it looks real. How about this one? This was done in Holland, and they painted a hole in the ground, and people were actually driving around it, or as this lady was, sort of trying to drive on the plank that's across it. But it's just a drawing. That one's quite a weird one. You've got the pavement being cut into, revealing some sort of platform, and the person was actually sat there, look as though they're actually touching the hand. And that one, Batman and Robin are coming to the rescue. But in every single one of those cases, it's not real. The artists are very good. Could you pop the lights back on for us, please, Stephen? The artists are very good, and they can mislead. They're showing the great skill, but it's not the real picture. The real picture is it was just a pavement. It looked like a big hole in the ground, and people were sort of driving around it, but it wasn't the full real picture. Reality has more to it than the drawings. So what about suffering? Well, God does help in suffering. In Psalm 18, verse 6, the psalmist said, "In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice." And a little later on it says, "He reached down from on high, took hold of me, and drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes, who are strong, or too strong for me." We can have difficulties, large and small, and God is able to deliver us from those. We cry out when perhaps we feel overwhelmed. We can cry out when we feel perhaps there's nowhere else to go. As somebody else said, when you get to the point where there's nothing else, very often you'll call out for God to help because you've got nothing else. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 2 say this, "God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." The psalmist was crying out, difficult situation, problems. And he calls out to God to help. Psalm 34, verse 47 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me, delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all his trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them." God can and is well able to deliver us from issues, from problems, from troubles. Situations, perhaps even of our own making, where we've just gone completely wrong, we got something totally messed up, and we have ended up in trouble because of it, God can still deliver us from those situations. Psalm 37, verses 39 to 40 say, "The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him." There was a situation with Jesus. He'd gone to his hometown. They'd heard stories about him. He'd spoke to them. And he concluded with this in Luke 4:23. He says, "Surely you'll quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself,' and you'll tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we heard you do in Capernaum,'" in other places. He says, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut up, yet Elijah was not sent to any of them. He went to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. There were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, yet he didn't heal any of those. He went and healed Naaman the Syrian." And it says that all the people, because he presented reality to them, were very upset. It says that they were furious. They got up, they drove him out of the town, they took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off a cliff. Then it makes a really strange statement. So Jesus has spoken to his own people, his village people, in the synagogue. He's upset them. They got really mad with him. They thought, right, we'll sort you out. They took him up to the top of the hill, and the idea was where they'd normally throw the rubbish down and dump it, that's what they were going to do with him. And then you get this very strange statement, and he says, "He walked through the crowd and went on his way." What? How'd that happen? God delivered him. No fuss, no hullabaloo, no sort of flashing lights, no angels descending, no big flash of anything. He just walked through them. God delivered him. Julie was talking this morning about Peter, who'd been arrested, put in jail. Herod was going to do to him what he'd done to James, Jesus' brother. Kill him. This one, the angel came, woke him up, and just took him out. God delivered him miraculously, to such an extent, as we read, that when Peter eventually got back to the disciples, started knocking on the door, they said, "Oh, it's not him. He can't be here. He's still in prison." But God can deliver from suffering. God can deliver us from situations that are beyond us. God can deliver us from situations where we cry out and say, "God, I've got nothing else." God can step into situations where we need help. But there are big differences. There are times when we need help. But there are other times when it's just difficult and we need to push through. Could you just show me the next clip, please, James? This is taken from Wall-E. You might have seen the film. It's a little robot left on Earth. All the people thought it was so bad with pollution and everything, they've just gone up into space. And what happens is they are catered for in every respect by robots who do absolutely everything with them. And all they do is sit back on these loungers that just float along the spaceship, carry them wherever they go. They don't have to actually talk to anybody. This might sound familiar. It's simply a projection in front of them. And in one part of the film, it shows you two people. And this guy's talking away, chatting away, and saying, "What we're going to do today? Are we off down to the bowling? Are we going to do this, that, and the other?" And he's getting the response through the screen. And then it just pans out. They're actually flying alongside each other, but not talking to one another, talking to the screen and sort of communicating that way. But you can see that that guy doesn't look the healthiest individual you've ever seen in your life, because he does nothing. He just sits there and everything's done for him. Slightly later in the film, from this bit, somebody says, "Robot," and this robot comes in and gives them a drink. They drink it and then they just hand it back. You see, we benefit from exertion. We can benefit from effort. Talk to Carl. Yesterday, he spent 6 hours, and if you don't go in there and say, wow, we'll be very upset. But yesterday, he spent 6 hours hanging paper snowflakes from the roof. And boy, this morning, he felt it, reaching up, coming down, reaching over, coming back, doing there. I got cricks in my neck. Julia got pains in her arms as she'd been pushing the scaffolding around. And Janet, who has been a hero, cutting out these bits of paper, has felt it in her fingers. But you know, we actually benefit from exertion. It's called exercise. But it's so easy not to. It's so easy just to leave it. How many people make the New Year's Day resolutions? This year I'm going to be fit. This year I'm going to go to wherever, do whatever, and don't. We benefit from actually doing things we're supposed to do. And sometimes, you might not believe it, but sometimes the suffering is something that is actually beneficial. Now, God is not a sadist. God doesn't delight in our pain. He doesn't enjoy watching us squirm, thinking, right, I'll send this them way and just see how they get on with this. And this is going back a little way. But when I was doing my A-levels, over the summer, in between the sort of lower six and upper six, as they call it now, I think, year 13 and 14, something like that, I worked on a farm. And on this farm, no, it's not the song, they had a cat, okay? This cat was called Queenie. She was quite an old cat, but she was excellent at catching mice, which was why the farmer had her. But I don't, well, this is not necessarily something that you find with all cats, but you certainly found it with Queenie. She was a devil. She once caught a mouse and she bit its two front legs so it couldn't walk properly. And then she lay down and she had the mouse in front of her. And this mouse, without its front legs, could only use its back legs. And it struggled to get away from the cat. And Queenie would sit there, let it go so far, she'd reach out her paw, she'd grab that mouse, and then she'd pull it back again. Then the mouse would set off again, crawling away, she'd leave it, paw, pull it back. And she left it doing that for 5 minutes, then eventually got she fed up, so she just ate it. But that was a mean streak. She was enjoying watching the mouse try to get away. It couldn't get away, but it kept trying. God is not like that. God doesn't delight in our pain. God doesn't delight in watching us squirm. God doesn't enjoy torment. When we're working with God, there is purpose in pain. When we're working with God, there is purpose in problems. There's purpose in difficulties. It might be very hard. It might be very difficult. God doesn't delight in the difficulty, but sometimes there is no other way to get through it. Jesus suffered. He said in John 15, verses 18 to 19, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that's why it hates you. Because the world hates different. The world loves conformity. To fit in, not to stir things up, just do as you're told, and everything will be smooth. You see, especially in school with kids. Stand out at your peril. Anything different, it'll get picked on. If you stand out, you will get a reaction. Sometimes we can stand out to get a reaction. But if you are different, you will get a reaction. In 1 Peter 2:23, it says this, when they hurled insults at Jesus, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He was prepared to trust God, his Father, to be the right one, to either deliver him from the issue or to take him through the issue. So there's purpose in suffering. Well, what about Jesus? In Hebrews 2:10 it says this, "In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of our salvation perfect through what he suffered." When it says perfect, it's teleo, and it means to be complete, not lacking. In other words, there were things that Jesus hadn't experienced, but he did experience through his suffering. There were things that Jesus didn't know, in the sense of having been there himself, and his suffering took him through that. The things he suffered, the things he went through, the things he experienced taught him. So the fact of the matter is, without the insults, without the opposition, without the exclusion, without the rejection, without the tortuous death, the experience of Jesus would have been incomplete. It tells us in Hebrews 2:17 to 18, "For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are tempted." He knows what it's like. As we go through problems, we can develop, we can grow, and at times there are no other way. As we go through sufferings, we can develop and grow. It's not theory. It's not something he's read about. It's something he's experienced. Let me put it this way. If you were going to the hospital for an operation, and the surgeon came to you and said, "Do you know, I've seen every lecture that's ever been given about the operation you're going to have with me. Do you know, I've read all the notes of all the famous surgeons who've ever operated in this. I've read them all, and now I'm going to operate on you." Or a surgeon comes to you and says, "I've performed thousands of these operations in the past. I've got a really good success rate. 95% of the people that I operate on recover." Out of those two surgeons, which one would you go with? Yeah, you want somebody with experience. You want somebody with hands-on experience. You want somebody who's been there, done it. Jesus helps us because he knows what it's like. We need help, and Jesus is the one who gives us help because, as we say, he's been there. He's got the t-shirt. He suffered. Difficult, painful, agonizing though it was, so that he might be able to help us better. There's purpose in suffering. But what about us? What about our suffering? There are obviously two sources of suffering, life and faith. Paul, the apostle, had a problem. Excuse me. He'd seen many people healed. In Acts 14, 8-10, we're told about a guy in Lystra who was listening to Paul preach. And it says that Paul saw him in the crowd, and he knew that he had faith to be healed. Paul looked directly at him, called out, "Stand up on your feet," and the guy who was lame stood up and started jumping around, began to walk, and he was healed. Paul saw what faith could do. He's seen deliverance. In Acts 16, we're told that this woman who was possessed of an evil spirit came and was talking about Paul and the others. And it says this went on for many days until Paul turned round and said to her, "In the name of Jesus Christ," speaking to the devil, he said, "come out of her," and she was delivered. Paul saw that, he experienced it, he called on the power of God, and God worked a miracle. He'd seen it. In Acts 20, we're told about The time when Paul was preaching, it says it was late. He knew that he was moving on, so he kept going. It says it was past midnight. One of the guys was sat in a window, not a window like we have, no glass. So he's just sat on a second story room, sat on the windowsill, and he did what none of you ever do. He went to sleep while the preacher was talking. So I'm watching now. Okay, he fell asleep while the preacher was talking, and there were two ways to fall. He could have fallen into the room, but he didn't. He fell out. Two stories down, it says they got down to him and he was dead. Paul prayed for this guy and he got up and he was alive. Paul saw that. He saw the power of God in action. He knew God could do amazing things, but Paul had a problem. And Paul says this, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, and he didn't. And basically he said to God, why? And God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made complete in your weakness. In other words, people would look at Paul with this difficulty, whatever it was, there's different ideas, but we don't really know. And they would see that God was still working through him. God was still doing amazing things through him. And if God could do it with Paul, then God could do it with anybody. Weakness, illness, infirmity, God can use. God can work through. The story of Joni Erickson. When she was a teenager, she dived into a swimming pool. It was shallow. She hit the bottom and she broke her neck. At that point, she became quadriplegic. For a while, she just couldn't get anywhere. She was a Christian before the accident, remained a Christian throughout her life. And she said, God, what are you doing? But you know, she learned to paint with her mouth and produce some amazing works of art. And through that, she was able to witness in a worldwide context. And God actually took her from anonymity and gave her a platform to speak for him. God used that difficulty. I'm sure there were people who prayed for a healing. I'm sure there were people that said, God can heal you. And that's true, he could. But God chose not to. And her suffering went even further than it could have ever have done if she'd just been an ordinary girl and later a woman. God can work through the things that we experience. And you know, God can use us to help others. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5, Paul says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received. So in other words, we have difficulties, we have problems, God comforts us, and then perhaps we find somebody in a similar situation and we can pass on the comfort. We can give comfort to them because of what God has done for us. We know, we've experienced, we know what God can do. And so we bring that comfort to others. God shows us his compassion. God shows us his love and then enables us to be channels of his blessing to other people. He enables us to be people who can take the comfort to others. We experience God's help. We share the experience of God's help. We get problems through our faith. Peter, writing in 1 Peter 4, 12-16, says, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that you have that's come on you to test you, as if it's something strange. Expect it. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Peter's saying, yeah, you know, why think it strange that you stand up and declare and you witness for the Lord and you suffer because of it? He says, be as Christ, rejoice. and participate in the suffering that you're sharing with him. Because if God has taken you to it, then God will take you through it. It's easy to keep your head down, keep your mouth shut, and just blend in. But God is able to rescue. God is able to help us in any and every situation. Paul writing says in Romans 5:1-5, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace. And we boast in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, we glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character leads to hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because it is fulfilled. Perseverance. Suffering produces perseverance. It produces endurance. It teaches us to push through. Arnold Schwarzenegger was once interviewed before he became really famous as governor of California, etc., when he was Mr. Universe, I think it was. And they said, because he won it, the title several times, they said, all these other people have trained, what's different about you? And his comment was, one more rep. When he went to the gym and he was doing whatever, working, most people told him, I don't know, do 20 of these curls. So he'd do 21. And the next time he'd do 22. And the next time he'd do 23. And that progression, rather than, I've got to 20, I've done my lot, I can stop at that. And his comment was, the people that push are the people that get there. One more rep. One more time. God helps us to push through. He leads us as far as possible. And God does not set us up for failure. If God got us here, God can bring us through. We need to endure. Talks about producing character. Suffering can refine us, knock off the sharp corners, as we say. Give us a rounded character. Perhaps make us a little bit more understanding with other people. I know Julius said about one particular situation where it looked as if there was all sorts going on, but once you knew the story behind and you saw what this particular parent was going through, the fact that she got as far as she had told you an awful lot, because she got character and she was persevering. We can fail. We can let God down. We can get it wrong. We can miss here. We can go down the wrong path. But as it says in Micah 7:8, do not gloat over me, O my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Even if I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. God is on our side. He's the one rooting for us. He's the one who's walking with us through each and every step of the difficult way. He's the one who will help us get through. In Romans 8:16-17, it says, the Spirit testifies with our heart that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs in Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we might also share in his glory. As it says in 1 Corinthians 2, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Hope. We have hope. We have hope that God will work things through. We have hope that this is not the end. There is more. That even in the depths of suffering, even when it seems like this is not going to end, we have hope. In any situation, God is able to deliver us. In any situation, God is able to heal. God is able to take us through. If he chooses not to deliver, if he chooses not to heal, then God will take us through. Any suffering we experience, God can use it to the best for us. To love as he loves means that you take the best and make the best for the object of your love, and God loves us dearly. We don't endure suffering, pain, problems, and difficulties for the sake of it. If we are suffering, then God is working on our behalf to bring us through. We can be healed from it, or we can learn from it. But if we walk with God, whichever way he chooses for us to go, we will go through it. We're going to play a song. It's called Chalice. It talks about sufferings and difficulties that people face, that we face. And because of that, we're able to pass on the blessing. At the end of that, if you want us to pray for you for healing, for help in sufferings and difficulties, you let us know. Come out to the front, raise your hand, whatever. But we can pray with you that God would help you in your difficulties, that God would help you in your problems, that God would help you, whether through healing, whatever, or God can walk with you alongside as nobody else can. James, could you play that, please? I'll just say for Facebook, we need to stop at that point, but if you go, you can find it on YouTube, Phil Keegi, Chalice.
But to love nothing and no one, we must close our own selves up, shut all the doors, and let no one in. Locked within ourselves, buried safe in dark and motionless, where love will cease to be, and all the while the air is wearing thin. Thank you.